Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Bread of Heaven Bible study. We're in consecration now, so for the next 2 weeks, we'll have Bible study on Monday and Wednesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, it is our privilege to stand in awe of you, to come to your throne, casting our cares on you, rejoicing in your grace, repenting of all our sins, repenting of any unforgiveness and prayerlessness that we've been walking in, and we praise you. Lord, you are awesome, 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 and there's none like you. We come humbly, Lord, hallelujah, before you. Lord, you see us. We can hide stuff from each other. Nothing is hid from you. We come just as we are. Frail, emotional, sometimes thinking we know more than what we really do know. And we just come at your feet and say, Lord, here I am. And Lord, we ask your blessing tonight as we come. Lord, we have a lot to be thankful about. But Lord, most of all, we're thankful for you. That's where all the blessings flow from, you. Without you, we couldn't breathe. Without you, we couldn't move and have our being. Lord, it is because of your mercy we are not consumed. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. We praise you in this gathering. We praise you, Lord, with everything that we have. We're not holding back, Lord. We're not putting on airs. No flesh is on display. Lord, here we are. And sometimes it gets raw like that, Lord. Just where we are. And Lord, we know, hallelujah, you delight to bless us. And Lord, you delight in us coming to you in humility and in surrender. Lord, bless every soul that's on this call, all the families that are represented. Bless those who have had infirmities. Lord, we ask your blessing on Brother Mike Holden, who has a surgery coming up and he has a heart ailment. I don't think they know exactly what it is, and Lord, or the severity of it. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you guide the doctors and Lord, that you step in and heal, intervene in his case. And Lord, bring him out whole. Bless him, Lord. Bless him in his spirit. Bless him spiritually. Bless him, Lord, in his walk with you. Bless him in his prayer life. Bless him in his body. Bless Sister Samantha, Lord. Lord, let this be an upward way, Lord, for her. Bless her, Lord, in her every aspect of her body, every system of her body, every tissue of her body, Lord. Bless her and bless her parents. Bless Sister Cartwright, Lord. She's a trooper. She's a soldier, Lord. Lord, sometimes she presses away more than I would want her to. But Lord, you bless her. You know what's in her. You know what you put in her. And Lord, she's a faithful soul. And Lord, I can't imagine, Lord, how difficult it is for her to have to catch a bus, go to church. Sometimes she's got a mean driver, sometimes not so. Well, I mean, a nice driver, sometimes not so nice. And Lord, she keeps on pressing. And we thank you, Lord, for her and others, Lord, who are pressing their way. Sister Armstrong, Sister Nicole Armstrong, hallelujah, who is a part of our fellowship. And Lord, we ask that you bless her, you strengthen her, Lord, that you expand her breathing, Lord, and whatever other ailments she may have, Lord, bless her. And let her know she's loved and she's missed. Lord, and you're going to bring her back. You know, she might have some kind of transportation issue. She's faithful to her church back in Maryland, Lord, and participates remotely. Lord, in the name of Jesus, but touch her right where she is and whatever situation she's in right now. Lord, bless the saints, Lord. Have your way today. We come in your name. We come in your authority. We come in your grace. We come, Lord, because you spared us to come tonight and to call on your name. Lord, thank you for today. Hallelujah. 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 There are probably people on this call who had a mountaintop day. Nothing but spiritual stuff all day long. Just praising God. Bump your toe against something, no cuss words, just praise the Lord. Somebody cut you off. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody had a day like I hope, Lord, but you know I didn't have a day like that. And Lord, I thank you for allowing me to continue on in your name. And Lord, we ask your blessings on your people. Pour out hallelujah and understanding and an appreciation, not just an understanding with the head or the heart, but an anointed sense of unction and revelation about how holy you are, Lord, and how we should be sensitive to our brothers and sisters in Christ, sin, and our sometimes neglect of our prayer. In our reading life, reading of your scripture. So Lord, step in, help us, Lord. Give us a boost, show us what you would have us to do and be. Lord, guide concerning decisions that people are making, financial decisions about the way they're gonna go in terms of how they make their money, all of that kind of thing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, intervene, have your way. Family decisions. Ideas that have been suggested to them, how to respond, Lord. Proposals about this or about that. Lord, give us your godly wisdom and discernment to stay in the center of your will, to not run too fast, but not too slow. But Lord, to be caught up in the current of your spirit, and to do things with excellence and with authority, with boldness, and with the preciousness of humility before you, our holy God. Bless today. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The title is in the chat. I'll mention it again after I read a few scriptures. Tonight, I may jump around a bit. Well, I'm pretty sure I will. Sometimes I tell you that's not necessarily my preferred way. Well, I'm gonna go with the flow. I'm going to stop saying what my preferred way is and let the way the Lord leads me be the preferred way. So we're going to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. And I was going to start at verse 6, but I have to read the whole chapter. I won't read long. I won't do a lot of interjecting. I'll say something toward the end of the reading. It's only 13 verses. It won't take long to read it. 1 Thessalonians 3. We know that this is an epistle, a letter to the church at Thessalonica written by the Apostle Paul. And it starts out in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And some of you may know that corresponds with Acts, the 17th chapter, and the whole story about him, Paul preaching on Mars Hill, and sent Timotheus, which is Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to establish the church at Thessalonica, and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, these hard times, these persecutions, opposition. You know, opposition is hard to take because sometimes it's so irrational. And I have asked this question of the Lord in years past, not as much as I asked during a particular time in my life. Why so much opposition? But we know that God works these things to our good. And Paul is really, really hitting on some high things here, as he always does under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Don't be moved by afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. That's part of our lot in life, to be persecuted, but we want to be in the position of standing for Christ as a representative and ambassador for Christ. For verily, or truly, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know what happened. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know of your faith. Let me read that again. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, in other words, I really wanted to hear some news for you. His heart is bursting with love and concern for the churches God used him to minister to. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, Satan, have tempted you and our labor be in vain. The gains we made, the souls that were converted through the blessing of ministry that we had a part in. And he's concerned about that, and he's concerned about them. But now when Timotheus, verse 6, came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. How many know that a good report is a great thing, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Our walk with the Lord stirs up a mutual love, right? So at Bread of Heaven, by faith, I believe the people love me, and I sure do love you. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in our affliction and distress by your faith. Now, isn't that a powerful statement? He's saying our affliction and our distress and our situation of not being necessarily on the mountaintop, hallelujah, was comforted, hallelujah, when we got the wonderful report about your progress in Jesus. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. We have to stand fast. Y'all hear me saying stuff like this, and I don't know how. I wish I had a more eloquent or more piercing or penetrating way to say it, but We can't turn back. We can't stop. We have to go forward and stand fast and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It can't be if it's in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Even when he's been mistreated, called every kind of thing, threatened and all that, having inexplicable opposition other than he knew he would have it. But it doesn't even make sense, some of the opposition that he had. And he says, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. So they're praising God. They're in the spirit of rejoicing before God for what God is doing for them, even while they have great opposition. Night and day. I love that. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Isn't that good? When the saints traveled, when Brother Sam was on deployment, hallelujah, we longed to see his face. And we got to see his face yesterday, along with the rest of his family, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. There's always room for the perfecting hand of the word and of the Lord in our lives. Don't ever think we've arrived. Paul said, I haven't arrived. So keep that in mind, even at your highest point. Even when they're patting you on the back and telling you how awesome it is and putting money in your pocket, throwing rose petals in your path, that could change real quick. It could turn to crucify him real quick. So we should never get too high, too low. We should take the praise in stride, the opposition in stride. Hallelujah. The glory goes to the Lord anyway. Keep a level head. That's one way of standing fast, you know, not getting too carried away with this or that or circumstances or how somebody treating you. And nobody likes to be disrespected. We don't. But sometimes people will disrespect us, either to our face or behind our back. And so we just got to go on. Verse 11, we're getting down to the verses that I wanted to put some emphasis on. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Hallelujah. We want to be led to you. We got this, this, and this, and this, this, and this, but we desire to be led to you. And the Lord make you to increase. He's speaking blessings over them. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. We're giving you the example of love, but we want you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And that's beautiful. That's powerful. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. Here's the verse where we got the topic from. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Ooh, that's a beautiful statement. Establish your heart. Settle. Bring your heart to a foundation status. Undergird your heart so it won't be moved back and forth. Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Now, if it's before God, that means 24/7, right? It's not when you just got your nice clothes on going to church. when nobody else is watching. Heart's unblameable in holiness. Our topic is in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you some scriptures. This is in all likelihood more than one session, but we'll see. Anybody want to talk about what holiness is? What is holiness as it applies to God? We say that God is holy. We know that God is holy. The scripture declares that he is holy, Old Testament and New. And then he says, be ye holy as I am holy. So what does that mean? What does holiness, the holiness of God Almighty, entail? What does it mean? We have an idea. We could all say very similar things, but, and I'm not going to tell somebody they're wrong, because I think most people have an idea of what it is. I might say something in a different way about holiness, but it's very important, and maybe sometimes maybe underemphasized in our teaching and preaching, because we're in a generation that, when you start talking about holiness, they're thinking they think of fire and brimstone, but that's not. The Lord has the prerogative to judge and to have wrath, and to hate sin. He can love the sinner and hate sin, but that's not really the aspect of holiness that first comes to my mind. When I think about it, it's there. Grace, one side of the coin, if you want to use a very simple explanation, and judgment, wrath, but it's all holiness, because he can't make a mistake. It's pure. Anybody, we'll talk about holiness.
My perception of holiness is the angels, they would peep inside the throne and they would declare holy. They would call him holy. God is holy. And I think where we are today in the church, the old way of holiness was like a external thing more than it was the internal. It was what you wore and not so much what was in the heart. And so, like, in my view, grace is more commanding or more demanding, because people say, well, grace, we're under grace now. We're not under the law. And I don't mean to get afar from it, but to me, this is the way I see it. In times past, if you slept with someone else's wife, it was adultery. But Jesus, he would say, if you thought about sleeping with a woman that wasn't your wife, you commit adultery in your heart. So it's more of a thing of the heart, and have the love and heart for God. And also, when I think of holiness, I think about Peter when he was converted to the Lord, when he went on that shipping trip and he caught all those fish, and the Lord revealed himself to him and he said, I'm so unclean. And he just cried out. There's something about God being holy, and our sins are ever before us when we stand before a holy God. And I just really think holiness is checking yourself and just looking at yourself and trying try to be more like God. As we're reading this Bible, we look at this Bible like it's a mirror, and we see everything that we look in this Bible, we should have a reflection of Christ. And oftentimes I don't, so it causes me to have a state of wanting to be righteous, righteous preaching. We don't really preach that way no more. It's like everybody's like, they're just saying good motivational speeches, or, you know, but there's nobody's, it's a call for living this standard of God. And, you know, that's my opinion.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay, we'll get another chance. Great remarks, Elder Gerald. Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So holiness is a standard that was in the Old Testament, is in the New Testament, is for now, is forever. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. This goes with what the elder was talking about a minute ago. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Nobody has to raise their hands. Nobody has to say, Pastor, I struggle with that. At every point in every life, you struggle with that. And it could be a sexual lust, but it could also be any other kind of lust. Love of money, and attitude, pride, anger, jealousy. A whole lot of stuff can come under the lust of the flesh. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't plan to do wrong. Hebrews 12:14. This is a scripture our pastor, the late great pastor Idessa Driver, used to quote. Follow peace with all men, Hebrews 12:14. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's New Testament. You can't see the Lord without holiness. And Elder hit it right on the head in terms of our commitment to holiness. It's Christ-likeness. But we're going to talk about it a little bit more as we go. One really stark and dramatic example of the holiness of God, which is connected to the glory of God, is in Matthew 17. Which is Matthew's version of the transfiguration. And Jesus is on the mountain. Now, how we know that Jesus looked like everybody else? Well, he had to be betrayed by Judas with a kiss. He didn't stand 8 feet tall. He didn't have a certain way that distinguished him from any other of the Jews of that area. He looked like a man. He was 100% man. Hallelujah. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, They pull back, he pulled back the curtain and let them get a glimpse of his glory. They said his garments shone. And it's not like Michael Jackson at a concert or Prince at a concert. His is shone like a heavenly body. It was that kind of brightness. They got a glimpse of his glory. They were in fear. And then they messed up right after that, trying to make altars to him, Moses and Elijah, as if they're all on the same level. And they didn't shine like nothing. But so that's one glimpse of the holiness of God in terms of pulling back the veil a little bit in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So that's very much connected to our obligation to be holy. We can't do it in our own strength. Again, Elder Jackson hit it on the head. It's not an external thing. And you know how it went. Most of the external things were directed at the sisters, right? The men were the pastors, and they get all bent out of shape if a woman had on like some light layer of lipstick or something. They act like they couldn't preach if they saw some lipstick. Oh, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I wouldn't be saved if I hadn't sat under that generation of preachers. But the point of it is we ought to conduct ourselves holy. Also, the way we dress and all that, it should be as becometh holiness. It should not be a sign of a reproach or super casualness in the sanctuary of the Most High God, right? So it's something to ask God about and to try to do what we can. Does that mean that every man has to wear a suit to church? No. Does it mean that every woman has to be dressed to the nines with a hat and a dress that's dragging on the ground? No. But we have to find a way in our walk with the Lord to not only realize the importance, the internal and eternal value of holiness, but also we ought to reflect something. We ought to reflect Christ-likeness. And so it's important for us to consider those things. Don't just think that, no, I'm not going to do that. Pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to lead you in the way that you should go. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 3. And I can really almost, I ain't gonna say I can, but I can almost hear my son quoting the scripture, because verses 1 and 2 he would quote. But I'm gonna read 1, 2, and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, poured out on us, given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. Sons of what kind of God? A holy God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. There are some things in the world we just can't fit into. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Who is him? It's talking about Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear at his glorious appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is in his holiness, in his glory. And every man that have this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The hope, hallelujah, of being transformed into the glorious spiritual body we get, the hope of seeing the Lord as he is, the hope of being in the presence of pure holiness has a purifying effect on us. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. And you know this chapter, you can read the whole chapter. You can read 10 verses and not miss a beat. But I'm just going to read two for tonight. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That phrase gets to me every time I read it. Here's Paul. Hallelujah. One God has blessed. He started all these churches. He's written, I don't know, one third or more of the New Testament under the unction of the Lord, that I may know him. He's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. All the great things, the exploits, the visions, taken into the third heavens, the revelation that God's grace is sufficient for us and that that his strength is perfected in our frailty, in our weakness, in our shortcomings, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Not the mold of the world, not conformed to this world, transformed, made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. Not catering to my flesh, but allowing God to take us from glory to glory in him. Hallelujah. And living a life in private and in public that honors the Lord. Isaiah 6. I may mostly just read this. Hard not reading the whole chapter, but we're going to read some of it and then we're going to take the break. In the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah became king at about 16, served 52 years before he died. This was truly an end of an era. And he got kind of messed up at the end, which happens sometimes. And I Sure, I'm determined that's not going to happen to me. But he, and certainly not any of our saints, we praying against that. But he got proud, thought he could minister in the sanctuary as if he had the priestly calling on his life, and he did not. Ended up with leprosy. Well, what does leprosy mean? You have to be isolated. So he died in isolation as a leper after a majestic 52-year reign as king. It was the end of an era. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His robe, his glory, his magnificence filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or two, he covered his face. And with twain or two, he covered his feet. And with twain or two, he did fly. Six wings. Four men engaged in the act of covering. Two engaged in the miracle of flight. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." And you can imagine how loud an angel could talk. It's the Lord of hosts. He didn't need no microphone. The whole earth is full of his glory. See that? Holy, 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 thrice. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible, you see over in 1 John, they say God is love. And then you read other places that God pours out salvation. He pours out hope. He pours out healing and all that. There's no place in the Bible that elevates an attribute of God to the multiple of three, but this place right here in the scripture. Holy. Holy. And in the Hebrew economy, to say something twice would be put an emphasis. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Is the Lord of hosts. Come on, somebody. Is always eternity past, today, eternity future. Is the Lord of hosts. Holy. Holy, holy. The whole earth is full, saturated, teeming with his glory. It takes a spiritual eye to know it when you're hurting. It's a spiritual eye to see it. Hallelujah. When your vision is blurred by tears. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get a glimpse into that, right? Hallelujah. I had a glimpse into that when I stood up with no not much time left on Friday to try to give my brother justice and give God glory at his funeral. I knew we were going to have a time crunch, right? I knew that my family on my niece's side and the ex-wife would be nervous about getting to the cemetery. I knew it. Hallelujah. And they thought, this holiness preacher is just gonna run all over our little apartment out there. Perhaps they thought that. And I did what I could. Y'all were there. Y'all know I honored, I spoke of the sacred apartment we had. To go out there. I did what I could with the 15 minutes or however long I had, I cut it off, hallelujah, to honor them, hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes we have a moment where we just believe, you know, it's kind of, Elder Jackson talked about this recently, about John the Baptist, you know. And one of the best things he ever said is, I must decrease and he must increase. That's our life, right? If John the Baptist was the greatest man born of a woman, then it's all right for us to think about decreasing before the Lord. I had some funny stories lined up about my brother. There's some things I want to say, some things I want to honor him with. But whatever I said, hallelujah, and some of it I don't even remember, because that's what happens sometimes when the Lord works on you. But I had a moment in that when I felt, not in necessarily in these words, but I'll use these words in verse 3. The whole earth is full of his glory. In other words, Russell, stop worrying about the little details. Stop being such a lawyer, you know? Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, with glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you that there's a connection between the glory of the Lord and his holiness. Then said I, woe is me. In the presence of holiness, you better feel like that. I certainly felt that way when I stood up at my brother's funeral. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of uncleanness, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oof. We could read that 1,000 times, but it should mean something to you. You might not get high and drunk in the spirit every time you read it, but it should mean something to you to be in the presence of the Lord and to try to put yourself in that scripture where Isaiah was. King Uzziah had died. And, you know, being a prophet meant you had to tell people bad news. Tell me, you know what, King, you wrong. The Lord told me to tell you, you wrong. And that's what a prophet had to do. Hallelujah. And so it wasn't a fun, and they didn't have long lifespans back then. They would kill them, and, you know, every chance they get. But mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've had this experience, this vision, hallelujah, this trance, kind of like what Peter had, and hallelujah, I've seen it, and I have unclean lips. I'm a man of God for real, but compared to this glory, to this holiness, my lips are unclean, and not only that, I dwell in the middle of a people of unclean lips. I got unclean lips. I come from unclean lips, and none for nothing leave none. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. Why? He just admitted it. I mean, I got unclean lips. And said, lo, this hath touched my lips. thy lips, I'm sorry, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Or if we could get our mouths straight, oh, hallelujah, we'd be well down the road to being fantastic, wonderful ambassadors for Christ. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And we are quick to say, here am I, send somebody else. But he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and seek ye indeed, but perceive not. And I'm going to stop at verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Hallelujah. Hearing, seeing by faith, having a heart cleansed, having our mouths cleansed, converted, shown by heavenly encounter, that there's something in error in our lives, and be healed, made whole, straight down. Questions, comments, brief testimonies. Topic is in holiness. Hallelujah. I think it's an appropriate title. The Lord just put it on my heart for us who are taking the consecration seriously, doing our best today. I was so hungry at lunch today. I said, I kind of want to make this a meat day. I went on and got me an egg salad thing, sandwich. Yeah. Maybe it's not perfect under the Daniel fast, but I didn't get that chicken I wanted. So, questions, comments, brief testimony. Holiness. God's holiness is transcendent. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He's not a big human being. He's the creator of all things. He's altogether different. He's in a category of one. And that's why Christ-likeness requires a spiritual transaction. It's just like the scripture that talks about it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say it's impossible, but there has to be a spiritual transaction for that camel to take the analogy further to pass through that eye of the needle. It takes a spiritual transaction for somebody who's born in sin and shapen in iniquity and who is under the Adamic curse to be holy like he is holy. And that transaction happens when we are born again. We get born again once. We don't have to be born again, but we do have to repent and ask God to restore us, to cleanse us, to shine up the vessel so it can be a vessel of honor. Anybody else?
Pastor Perkins, I do appreciate the Bible class and points that you brought out. Really unique thing that the Lord allowed, the vision that the Lord allowed Isaiah to see, where he got to peek into the throne room of God and saw a lot of activity. And the main thing was how his holiness was being just magnified in every way, just his pureness and no darkness, no deceit, no sin, no deception, no, you know, just light. And these angels magnifying him being holy. And you said he's set apart. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And he makes another separation in that 55th chapter of Isaiah, that as far as the earth is from the heavens, not the sky, but the spiritual heaven, that is just it's eternal. You can't even see it or reach it. It's a distance that's unfathomable. How far above man that he is. And when Isaiah comes into his presence, all he can see is how sinful and every defect and every flaw and every shortcoming that he had, that's what was magnified in him. When God was magnifying his holiness, all he could see was unholy, you know, and that happens to us. And through this consecration, you know, that's what I look for, the Lord to examine me. And I want to see more him, and I want to see more of me. But when he shows me, it's an ugly thing. it's not a good thing a lot of times, because he's trying to purge and purify me, and it comes with that fire. And those particular angels there are seraphims, different, and which means flaming ones. It was like they're like a flame of fire that just circles him, and that's a magnification of his holiness as well, and pureness as well. And they couldn't stand in his presence because he's so holy. They couldn't stand. They just flew. Just couldn't look, you know, eyes covered. They could just fly around him and proclaimed that he was holy. But it's just a beautiful scene, you know. Imagine it. It's really a beautiful scene. And the man that he was focused on had to be taken out of the way. And like you said, he was a great man, but he was just a man. And for him to be used, he had to take his eyes off of God, and I mean off of the man, and he had to be able to see God in order for him to see himself. He had to be able to see God in that way in order for him to see himself and to examine himself and to see where he was. And that created that humility, you know, just that humility of just looking and seeing what the Lord saw. But anyway, this is what will keep an individual humble. And when you are able to see what Isaiah saw, and see that we're in the same condition, really, you know, we're really where he was. But the Lord to make him holy. It takes the Lord to make us holy, like you said, and it comes through the Holy Ghost. And that was a glimpse of God. But then for us, that holiness deals with separation, separating from sin, separating from the influences and the practices of sin. and separating ourselves unto God to be used by Him. And that's what this consecration is for, to make us more holy, to cleanse us and to make us more pure and to make us more like this God that Isaiah saw here in his throne room in all of his majesty, and it focused on his holiness. This particular scene just focused on his holiness. But anyway, thank you, Pastor Perkins. God bless you.
Thank you, Elder Jackson. Final remarks, if you have any, and then close us out in prayer, please.
Let me get this. Okay. No, I don't have any final remarks. I thought Elder Brasher, he made it plain and clear. He just backed up what you were saying. And God is holy. He's a holy God. And we're required to be holy. And it should be a standard of living. And it's not easy, because if it was easy, you know, it's not easy. So you have everything, the elements, you have the culture. You have so many things that come against it. And you were born in this flesh, so we battle with lust. So it's not easy. You got to be prayed up. You got to read that Bible, or things will overcome you. And like I said, the devil talks every day in our ears. And we need to know that God talks as well. So I think it's good. Consecration is always good. We must die. We want to live, we got to die. So I thank God for this lesson, Pastor. Thank God for you. I thank God for the eulogy and the good time we had Saturday. It was just a wonderful day. I thank God for that. It was good to see Brother Sam back. I'm just going to pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. I really thank you, God, because I really shouldn't be here, but it's by your grace that I'm still here. So many others have moved on, but they're not forgotten. And I thank God, Lord, this is not the end. If you didn't get up out of that ground, we would be miserable men. We'd be men most miserable. But thank God you got up out of that grave. Oh, Lord Jesus, we live, and if we die, Lord Jesus, the what's more important is that our names are written in the book of heaven. Oh, God of heaven, just help us in this hour, Lord. There's so many uncertainties with the government, so many uncertainties with life. Lord Jesus, but let us not be afraid. Let us not be fearful. Lord Jesus, we call on you, Lord, who you're our Father, you're our captor. Lord Jesus, you're our Lord, you're our Savior, you're our King, you're our Counselor, you're our help in a very present time of trouble. God, Lord, have your way in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Let us love as you love, Lord. Let us think as you think, Lord. Let us, Lord Jesus, have mercy as you have mercy, Lord. Let us be holy as you are holy. Jesus. Oh, God of heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know everything about us, Lord. Lord Jesus, before we even call on your name, you already know. You know what we need, Lord. You know things before we even ask. Oh, God of heaven, just let us have faith and build our faith, Lord Jesus. Let's have the faith, Lord, to be able to tell a mountain to go into the sea and be removed. Let's just have faith, God of heaven. Oh, yes. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to continue to be God. And Brother Brasher said it's a beautiful thing. But it crossed my mind. It was the opposite of what Brother Brasher said. I understand what he said, but to me, it's a terrible thing. It's a scary thing that a God that is so powerful, and that the angels, Brasher said, they were like fire. that they couldn't even hardly look at him.
Jesus.
Ooh, if we knew, if we saw this God, oh, hallelujah. Oh, the Bible says he's a flame. He's like fire. He's a consuming fire. Oh, Jesus. God of heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. We obtain, we can be close to you, that we can have a relationship with you. Oh, but if it wasn't for Jesus, hallelujah, you will consume everything. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for your blood, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Oh, God of heaven, I ask you to bless bread of heaven and bless our pastor. And help me, Lord Jesus, to get behind his vision and his ministry, Lord Jesus. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to lift him up and to bless him so that you can bless us, God of heaven. I ask you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, I pray this prayer out of my heart, God of heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, help us die. Help us die to this world so that we can live. Help us live like so that we can live again, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Bless us right now in Jesus' name. Bless bread of heaven, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, bless all the marriages. Bless Sam and his wife. Bless Brother Keith and his wife. Oh, and Pastor and his wife, everybody who's married, bless their marriages, Lord. Bless their children and the single people. Bless the single folk at the church, Lord. Help them, Lord, because they don't have help. Oh, Lord Jesus, bless them mighty, Lord. You be their help in the very present time of trouble. Be their help, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. So I was anointed. God bless y'all. Love you. Good night.
Amen.
Love you too.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Living Bread.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.